skipping the rest of the laws of Havara and Kibui. Okay, the main halacha was about the match. That was the great halacha and the time, and we did the main stuff. The two different reasons, to recap from yesterday. Noilad, the issue of muksa, very fascinating concept. Noilad, when you light a new fire on Yom Tif, is that in the category of Noilad? From the Gemara it's mashma, it is. The Rambam makes no mention of Noilad, the Rambam makes mention of you're doing a malacha de'oraisa, because lighting a fire could have been done Erev Yom Tov. Okay, so that, and then we discussed this fascinating concept of Noilad only applies to a davar sheyesh boy mamish, and fire is a davar she'ein boy mamish. And then we discussed the topic of lighting a match from a fire on Yom Tov. And the question was, the Aruch HaShulchan says, are you really allowed to transfer fire through the lighting of a match? Is that called, what is the nature of the gufris, the sulfur on the tip of the match? I don't know, is that what they have with the, what they have with the match? What's that stuff? What's that red stuff called? Sulfur? Is that called a new fire? Or is that just something which is more combustible than the regular fire? And we discussed this yesterday, and we also mentioned the concept that when it comes to many areas of halacha, it's not necessarily the science behind the halacha. It's true, you can't ignore the science, but it's also a concept of perception. We had that topic when we discussed the Shabbos switch. The Grumah Shabbos switch. So the Grumah Shabbos switch, so many places when they mention this theme is that if you turn on the switch and the light goes on, Perception definitely carries weight in halacha. It may be a shaila, even a shaila d'araisa, certainly a d'rabban of turning on, doing the malacha of havara, or boine, makeh b'patish, or whatever the various halachas are involved in turning on a light on Shabbos are relevant. If you go and you put a match to a fire, and there's a little slight explosion, a flaring up, even though technically you're not creating a new fire, it's no different than any other material which just happens to burn, but the fact that it flares does give a person the perception that this may be indeed creating a new fire. And therefore, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan debates. He deliberates, maybe it should be forbidden on Yom Tov. He, Halacha L'maisa, does not take away from the Minhag HaOlam is that it's mutter. So he concludes it's still mutter to put a fire, a match to a fire. Now, the rest of the laws of Havara and Kibui are really very not Nogea us in modern times. All the principles are there, of course. The Torah is infinite, is eternal, timeless. But the examples that he gives the next couple of Sifim are very, very far removed from us. So we're going to skip it. And we're going to go to a new topic, Simin Tov Kuf Gimel. The only thing I wanted to point out, and we mentioned yesterday, it's still not clear, is Havar, the other very big issue, is Kibui, is lowering the range on gas range on Yom Tov. Are you allowed, if it's on a high setting, are you allowed to turn the gas down when there is no food on the range? Is this permitted or is this forbidden? So there are different opinions among the Rabbanim, the Poskim. Some hold it's mutter, and some hold it should not l'chatchila be done. It is in the category of kibui, of extinguishing. And you're not allowed to extinguish for no purpose whatsoever. Others say it's not called kibui. You're just reducing the fuel, the gas. That's not cool. That's not a category of kibui. So again, I don't know. There are many different opinions on this. If it's proper or not, maybe if we have time, if I can find some material.
If you have a pilot, it doesn't make a difference?
It does make a difference. It doesn't matter if it's a pilot or not. It doesn't make a difference. No, even if you have a pilot, it doesn't matter. Pilot allows you to turn on. If you have an old stove and you have a pilot, you're allowed to turn on the fire. But turning off, you're saying if you have a pilot, you're turning off, so the pilot is still connected. So maybe the same way you can lower it, the same way those who are matter to lower it, why can't you turn it off entirely? It's still connected to the pilot. Maybe you're right. I don't know. I never thought about that. I don't know how it really works. Is it always connected? Is it always connected to the pilot? I don't think so. Even if you have a pilot light.
No, just the gas that goes.
It's only the ignition. When you turn off, when you have an oven that has a pilot light, to the best of my knowledge, what? The pilot light stays on, but the fire that you create on the range, it's not connected to the pilot lights. The pilot is not continuously lining the range.
The gas moves along.
The gas. So let's say you have an old range and you have a pilot light, and you turn and you ignite the range. So the way the range is being ignited is through the pilot light. Correct?
A little tube
of the pilot light.
Gas goes, and it
now when I turn off, once the flame on the range is gone, is the pilot light continuously connected to that fire?
No.
It's done. So then you'll turn it off entirely. You're extinguishing an independent fire. So it would be forbidden. The question is, can you lower the flame? Like we said, that is a debate, and there is no, it's the best that I know, there is no hechra. There is no final psak halacha. There are different opinions. Some say mutter, and some say it should lechatchila not be done. Okay.
As you saw, they developed a clock.
A clock?
It's a rubber tube that connects the gas power, and there's a clamp, a physical clamp that's held by a clamp.
Yeah.
And when it's one at a time, and it just clamps the gas down.
I gotta see the diagram. I can imagine. My mind is not too creative to imagine the engineering of these high-tech ovens. Yeah.
If you're not allowed a lower flame, then you shouldn't be allowed to smoke, because when you're inhaling...
Oh, that's another topic of discussion. No, when you're inhaling... No, when you are inhaling, you're doing Havara. You're doing Havara. No, that's natural. You're not responsible. You're not deliberately putting it out. No, it's happening by itself. It's happening by itself. You are inhaling... You're doing Havara, you're right. You're increasing the Havara. And when you stop inhaling? No, but that's natural. If I go and I light a fire, a candle, the candle is not going to go forever. The candle is going to go for 2-3 hours. It goes out. Oh, I did hot kibui. I lit a fire knowing it's going to go out in 2 hours. I'm not responsible what's going to go out. What I did is mutter. Okay, that's also a very good topic of discussion. Are you allowed to smoke on Yontif? Are you allowed to smoke in general? Okay. Are you allowed to smoke on Yontif? So that's another topic which maybe if we have time we'll talk about another time.
You keep on burning.
It's Havara. You're doing Havara. Is Havara l'chayr it's mutter. Are there shilas about all the good cigarettes have words on it?
Yeah.
So when you come down, to the very end, when you do, you inhale, you're directly causing the words to be destroyed. That's a direct act. Just either eat before Yom Tov, prepare your cigarettes and take a black magic marker and
black it out.
Take out the words, or when you get down to that part of the cigarette where there are words, just don't inhale. At that point in time, you have to stop. You can't put it out. What do you do? You can't put out the cigarette. You have to just put it down somewhere and let it go out by itself. Okay, that's it. Yeah. So you should be able to light your cigarette on Yom Tov. Okay, when we discussed also lighting a yahrzeit candle, that's what we discussed also before, Havara for lighting a yahrzeit candle. Many people do it because they forget to do it before Yom Tov for a yizkar, or if there's a yahrzeit on Yom Tov, and there's many places that say that it's mutter, that's called letzorech, that's a need. Rebelsky is well known for saying that it's not necessarily in halacha. We don't find in halacha lighting a ner neshama is called a mitzvah. It's a nice thing to do, but to say that it overrides Yom Tov is not so simple. If you want to do it, you can do it, but if you don't do it, you're not going to lose out.
There's a solution to that. Today they sell the 3-day candle.
Right, right.
Are cheaper than the...
Why cheaper?
The 79 cents today, 3-day candles.
They're on sale. That's the only reason why they're cheaper. Not because they're cheaper. All right, let's go further. Now, okay, so maybe we'll come back to these other halachas, but let's now go to new halachas. Halachas Tav Kuf Nun. The laws of Hachana from one day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov. Oh, it's on page 33. Davar Yadua, Sha'asol Lihatriach Es Atzmai Lahachin Davar Miyom Tov Lechavar. You're not allowed to be Matriach to exert yourself to do activity from one day to the next. Afilu davar she'enu melacha, even if it's not melacha, anything to set the table, you're not allowed to set the table on Yom Tov afternoon for the night meal. The kol shekein she'asa levashel, you're not allowed to bake oil efes, it's allowed to cook oil efes or to bake miyom tov lechaveira. The kevan the shnei yom tov the Shnei Yom Tov Shosin Hu B'Nei HaSafik. Since the second day Yom Tov, that's a funny word. The Shnei Yom Tov Shosin Hu B'Nei HaSafik. Shema Michad Shema Mochar Hu Chol. Maybe tomorrow is really Chol. Maybe the second day of Yom Tov is really a mundane day. V'Nim So Shemeichin Oisim Melacha Yom Tov L'Chol. The call shaken hasha the could be in the kvid yacha. It's certainly the mizvana that we are so we know kvid yacha. We know the calendar. The vaday kain hu the asar is certainly forbidden when you go when you do malach on the first day yom to the second day yom tif. So you know for sure you be mechin from kodesh lechol. Now that would mean interesting because if we would not know this, he wants to point out that if we would not know this, there are grounds to be matir. What would be the grounds to be matir if we did not know bizmanas they kli diyachad and we're relying upon the bezdin when they were mekadesh lechodesh and we do not know mekadesh lechodesh? Maybe the first day yom tif is really choil, and the second day yom tif is kodesh. So then we would be mechin mechoil lekodesh, and that so therefore it's a suffix. Every time you do something, so that already creates in halacha a very, very great degree of leniency. Anytime we're going to find another reason why we can be makel, we can combine this with another reason to be makel to be lenient, because today might be a day of choil, there's no prohibition. Now here's a very fascinating concept. But since Bizman Hazeh, it's a davar yadua, we're bikin bikvir diyarche, so every first day, every first day Yom Tov is always 100% kodesh, and you're not allowed categorically, it is also to be mechin mi kodesh l'chol, so therefore today it's a vadai iser, you don't have any leniency to use midin sofik. Yafilu. Now then you'll go on and you'll say, so but the second day has a nafik, because the second day, since the second day is vadai choil, so therefore, if I want to go be mechin on the second day Yom Tov for Mitzvah Yom Tov, so maybe then we should be mekel, because the second day Yom Tov, since we are bikin bikvi the yarche, the second day Yom Tov really is chol. Ve'afilu shenei Yom Tov shal rosh. I'm sorry. Ve'afilu shnei Yom Tov shal rosh Hashanah the kedusha achasein. Now, first we want to know what about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which we know it's Yom Arichta. Yes. It's one long day. Zehu, it doesn't matter. Zehu lechumra, v'lo lekula. That's a very important principle. When we hold that there are 2 days, Yom Tov is all one day. What's Yom Arichta? That's only lechumra. Any halacha that will result in a chumra, we apply the principle that it's one long day. But any halacha that will come out of leniency, then we're makbid. We hold that it's going to be a suffix. In this halacha, we hold that the 2 days Rosh Hashanah are one long day, it should be permitted to prepare from the first day Rosh Hashanah for the second day Rosh Hashanah. It's like preparing for the morning meal, for the night meal, for the morning meal, which is mutar. So therefore, if we take the principle to its natural conclusion, that's not true. We don't say it's Yom Arichta when the halacha comes, when it will result in a leniency preparing from one day to the next day. V'loy l'kula, levad l'in eruv shal shnei yamim, d'zeo gam l'kula, b'rashon, when it comes to making an eruv, Eruv of the 2 days of Rosh, the Zerul Gam Lekula, Barashanak, Mashkat, with Leil, Besimon, Tov, Tavzayin, Diyach, Alelach, Besheni, Be'eruv, Shalavishon, Vyatam, Pasha, the Besham, Aim, Harishon, the Besham, Aim, Harishon, Igor, Shekeinu, Kifu, MS, Azai, Hashem, Yichol, the Ain, Tzach, Erev, Avulkan, the only exception is if you want to travel. You want to make it a ruve techumen to travel more than 2,000 amos, so then you could make two a ruve techumens in different directions, and you can stipulate on Yom Tov itself, and you can decide which direction you want to travel before Yom Tov, and you can make these stipulations, and I don't know the details, but those details work with the principle that one that's only a suffix. So there, for whatever the reason is, you can be make when it comes to the laws of a ruve techumen. There's an exception that we treat Rosh Hashanah like 2 days, two separate days, and we can be mekel. But Avul Kan Adraba Kesha Hasheni Hu Chol. Over here, if the second day is going to be Chol, Haloi Also Levashal Yom Tov L'Chol. You're not allowed to Levashal from Yom Tov L'Chol. V'chein Yom Tov L'Shabbos Also El Imkin Hinich Erev Tavshilin. Everyone knows that unless you make an Erev Tavshilin, you're not allowed to appear from the one day Yom Tov to Shabbos. That's also Also. V'kal V'chol Mesha Also Levashal Yom Tov L'Sheni L'Erev Shu Chol Gomer. And it goes without saying, the second day Yom Tov, which has Kedusha Midrabanos Yom Tov, it's Kodesh Midrabanon, you're not allowed to prepare for Mitzvah Yom Tov. Okay, so just the basics so far we've learned so far is that you're not allowed to be Mechin from one day Yom Tov to another day Yom Tov. Bezman Hazeh, being that we are experts in the calendar, the result is even more chomer than it was in the time of Chazal. In the time of Chazal, the first day Yom Tov was a bona fide Suffolk. So maybe you can say, really, today is Chol. I'm being Mechin Mechol L'Kodesh, which is Mutter. That principle does not apply at all whatsoever Bizman Hazeh, because Bizman Hazeh, the first day, is always Kodesh. So if you're going to appear on the first day Yom Tov, the second day Yom Tov, you are certainly preparing me Kodesh L'Chol. The second day Yom Tov, even though really, according to the calendar, it's Chol, but Rabbanan said you have to treat it Midrabanan like Kodesh. So you're not allowed to do Malacha on a Derabanan Kodesh for a day of Chol. So we're stuck. There is no way in the world we can prepare from one day to the next, and not from the second day to Mitzvah Yom Tov. And what about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Even though we are brainwashed with this principle that's Yom Arichta, it's one long day, that's only when it results in a Chumrah. The classic Chumrah is an egg. An egg that was laid on the first day Yom Tov will be Aser on the second day Yom Tov. On a regular 2 day Yom Tov, an egg that was laid on the first day Yom Tov is Mutter on the second day Yom Tov, because it's Sekut Yoma. That there's a special leniency. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we only apply that principle L'chumra, not when it will result in a Kula, and therefore you're not allowed to do Malacha from one day to make preparations from one day to the next, and even on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Next, Tana Rabbanan. You're not allowed to cook from one Yom Tov to the next day. The MS Amru Mimalach Mimala Isha Kol Hakadeira. Now here he's going to give some tricks. Even though you're not allowed to outright do preparation from one day to the next day, but there are techniques that you can take advantage of that Halacha allows. For example, Mimala Isha Kol Hakadeira Basar. It's the first day Yom Tov. I'm preparing lunch. But in the back of my mind, I have to prepare dinner for tonight when they come back from Maariv. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fill the entire pot. I only need one piece of meat. So why? Because in the back of my mind, I'm going to serve the remaining meat tonight. I'm just going to give a small piece of meat today at the lunch meal, and the majority I'm going to use at night. Another example. A baker is allowed to fill a full barrel of water. So you're filling up water from the sink. You've been making preparations. I don't need the entire pitcher. In my back of my mind, I'm doing this because I'm going to need this pitcher for tonight, not for now. But since now we're going to use a small amount of the water, it is permitted. I own this small amount right now. What is the lumnitz? What is the yesoid? That one act of tircha is permitted. That means cooking, baking, anything which is one process, even though, and I do it in abundance, even though it takes more time, more effort, but it's called in this principle chad tircha nases kulo. You can do an abundance afilu av pirit. That's when it comes to cooking, and that's when it comes to other types of tircha aval efois. But here is the exception: when it comes to baking, I want to bake chalos, I want to bake a cake, I want to bake some type of dish. Einoy oifa elamash et saruch loy. Period. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Memal Isha Kolatan, he disagrees. You can even bake. When it comes to bread, Memal Isha Kolatan, a pas, Mibne Shapas Nef, and only when it comes to bread, it seems. Shapas Nef, Yafe, Kishatan, or Mole. Okay, he holds that maybe when it comes to baking, okay, baking a cake, maybe in a Hanami you can't bake more than what you need. But when it comes to baking bread, then you can bake 100 loaves of bread, even though I only need one loaf of bread now, because every loaf of bread is nene from the other loaves of bread. So a full oven, full of bread, is beneficial for the one loaf of bread that I'm going to eat for lunch. I'm having for dinner 50 people come over for dinner. I'm having for lunch just myself. I want to bake some challahs for lunch, so I can bake 51 challahs. Well, I only need one loaf of bread now. I should have to bake the other challahs at night? No, because I bake 51 challahs, the one that I'm going to eat now will have more flavor. Okay, that's the principle when it comes to pas.
Pas. So there has to be the one oven, or you can do it
in one oven, obviously. There has to be nene. You're only going to have this principle.
Do, let's say, 10 challahs, 10 challahs, 10 challahs.
No, no. Obviously, it's only obviously that they're going to derive benefit. Isn't that an amazing principle? It's amazing. Pass. You know, there are a lot of mishalim. What does pass? What does pass represent? You learn this. You saw that pass. Each loaf of bread is nene from the others. Amar Rava. What is the bottom line? Halacha ki Rabbi Shimon Elazar. We passing like this. V'hachi perusho. D'rabbanan lo hitu melacha yisrael b'shul Shabbos shetashpiach zeh ha'ma'at hatzarich rak ma shenaseh b'tircha achas matirin. So Chazal did not allow you to do any preparation that you do not need today unless it's called one ma'isa tircha. Rak ma shenaseh b'tircha achas matirin you're allowed to do afilu im ein shevach b'hamikzas mehamoysar, even if there's no real benefit. There is no real benefit, but if it's one act of tircha its mutter, kimo mayim shebechavis. I have a pitcher of water. I want to take the pitcher of water and put it in the sink to fill up the pitcher of water. Who's eating now at this meal? Just me. I only need one glass of water. So why am I filling up the whole pitcher? Because tonight I'm serving a meal for 50 people and I need a full pitcher. So I turn on the sink, let it fill up. Oh, I should stop it after it fills up one glass, what I need for myself. It's one act of tircha. Putting the pitcher in the sink and turning on the faucet to fill it up is one ma'isa tircha. I'm allowed to do it, even though it's going to involve preparation for a later meal. And there's no benefit in one glass of water over the remainder. There's not any additional benefit when it comes to cooking a dish. And certainly when it comes to cooking, because cooking, if you cook a large shalant, then the one piece of meat that you want to eat now is going to taste better because it's deriving benefit from the flavor of all of the other pieces of meat that are in the pot. So certainly that's going to be mutter. That's what the rabbanon only matter cooking, umayim, and water. When it comes to baking, there is no such thing. So even when it comes to bread, there's not going to be any benefit. Lo yitir, period. However, the rabba and the Shimon ben Gamliel hoisev the af b'bnei shevach etiru even shevach. Rabbi Shimon Elazar hoisev the af b'bnei shevach etiru l'chein gam be'afia mutar. When it comes to bread, it's also going to be mutar. V'kol shekein shemutar v'kol shekein shemati b'mas shenaseis v'asiyacha. Certainly, it's going to be mutar in any single action. V'chein halacha, and that is halacha. V'akol moedim b'zeh, no one disagrees. But to go draw water from a well, come upon nira shah. So he goes over here. Let's say you're cooking a dish. Where do you divide? Where's the balance? In other words, I have over here a pot. I have over here. I want to cook meat. So I want. I'm going to cook over here. I only need for now one piece of meat. I want to go cook 10 pieces of meat. Because tonight, I want to be ready for tonight. If I'll go and I'll cook now, so he says, why is it mutter? When you're going to fill up the pot with water in preparation for the cooking, if I'm only going to cook one piece of meat, I only have to go to the sink once. But now that I'm going to be cooking 10 pieces of meat, I'm going to have to go back and forth to the sink to fill up the pot 10 times. So that's 10 actions. 10 actions. So is that really mutter? Even though it's true that one piece of meat is going to have slightly more flavor because of the other 9 pieces of meat, but the tircha, the ma'isa tircha of going back and forth is so significant. No, it doesn't matter. Since it's local, since you're not going anywhere, you have to make a decision. What is called one tircha? But of course, if you're going to have to go out to the well to leave your home, go downstairs and go out into the street and go to the well and draw water and come up the steps, come and then pour the water into the pot, and then go do this 10 times because I want to cook 10 pieces of meat and I only need one piece of meat for my meal now, and I'm only doing this because I want to prepare the other 9 pieces of meat for my meal later on, that already is going overboard. To go out to the well and to draw water 10 times more than what you need already shows that you're being making for the next day. This already Chazal did not sanction.
Did you see that?
That's what he says here. Read the words over here. Look one more time. Look at Lechein Da'afia, Ulchein gabe afiel, number one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Motor of a culture came shemati b'mashen nasa b'asiachas and one asia. V'chein alocha. That kol moedim is that. U'mashen noisen hamayim b'kedera lo b'pamachas. I'm putting water into the pot not once but multiple times. Nira shein chashash b'zeh. Even though I'm doing multiple actions to prepare more meat, it's okay. She'ein zeh melocha. That is not considered I'm doing melocha for the next day. But to go outdoors and to draw meha be'er from the well, come upon him. Nirish also that already going too far. It seems that he's saying that you have to draw a balance. You have to be careful. Chazal or matir tircha achas. Tircha achas does not mean one act, one action. Hachana is a din derabbanu. It's not a din deraisa. Being meichin from one day Yom Tov to the next day Yom Tov is within the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan lenitna Torah lamalachim angels. The Torah was not given to angels. Therefore, they're giving you some discretion. They're giving you something to work with. They're giving you a leniency. If you want to go and prepare a lot of food for tomorrow, but you're going to eat some of the food right now, and it's considered to be one tircha, it's mutter. What is called one tircha? So it doesn't just mean one act. You can do multiple acts to prepare for tomorrow. But if you're getting heavily involved in doing something which involves significant labor, that already you're going way too far. Where do you draw the line? He just gives one example, and he obviously is giving it to a person to make his own understanding to differentiate between what is considered to be a tircha yisera, what's considered to be...
It's even easier. You don't put water in a pot many times.
You just turn the sink.
The first thing it goes in the...
I don't understand it. I understand the difference.
Yeah.
If you are cooking, whatever reason, you're cooking a whole big pot of 20 pieces of meat.
Okay.
And you need for that 2 gallons of water.
Okay.
And you have to, and you don't have water in the house. You have to go to the well to bring the water.
Okay.
And you have to go twice.
Okay.
You would be mutter because you needed water.
Not necessarily saying going twice might be a problem.
I want to fill up. I have a water pot at home that holds 10 gallons. I'll fill it up and then I'll take the 2 gallons from it. That's the...
It doesn't seem like he's saying that.
More than 2 gallons. But what you need now for the cooking, you can go 10 times to the well.
I don't think he's saying. Listen, I don't know for sure, but I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying over here is
that we would think that you, just like he'd go 10 times.
No,
to get
I don't think so.
Cook, you should be able to go 10 times.
It seems from the context you're eating a meal right now. You only need one piece of meat. I want to take advantage and prepare 10 pieces of meat.
But you can't cook it without having 2 gallons of water.
So, are you allowed to? Right now, I don't need 10 pieces. I don't need one piece of meat.
Right now, since you're allowed to make the cook the meat,
he seems to be saying it depends. If the water is here on the other side of the kitchen, and I have to go back and forth 10 times, you can do it. Because the water is local. It's not perceived like you're preparing that much for the next day.
Yeah.
But if you have to go downstairs outside and schlep from the well 10 times and put it again and bring on a sweat, you're already going a little far here. You only need now one piece of meat, and you're cooking 10 pieces of meat.
But if you would need 10 times to go to the well, you would be allowed
for that one meat.
For now,
for that one meat, hey, right, for that hey, one hey, piece of meat.
No, let's say you have 10 people.
Of course, that's mutter. But the case is now I only need one piece of meat. I'm taking advantage, and I'm preparing for tomorrow. I'm preparing for tomorrow. How much tircha am I allowed to involve myself in to prepare for tomorrow? So he makes this example. If the water's in the room, you can do it 10 times. If the water is downstairs in the well, you can't do it 10 times.
If you shech the animal, right?
Yeah.
You only need one piece of meat.
Yeah.
Are you allowed
that's the first of Shulchan Aruch, it's mutter.
Are you allowed to salt the whole animal?
Yes, of course.
Even though you need one little piece.
Well, there's no other way around it. That's the only way you can salt. When it comes to salting meat, there's no salting.
You can cut off a leg and just salt the leg.
No, you don't do. No, that's mutter. There's nothing to talk about. That's.
Rub, you know what's complicating the whole thing? The fact that he's giving you a heter to cook food for
the next day. That's right. He's giving you a heter. He's giving you a heter.
But that heter is creating so many problems.
That's because we don't know the halachas. We don't know the halachas. You have to know the halacha. You have to know how to do it.
He has to go get wood. He could go out 10 times to get in some pieces of wood.
If you need it for right now, yes.
But even if you put 20 pieces of meat, are you allowed to get the wood?
That's exactly what he's saying. If I only need one piece of meat, and now I decide to have 20 pieces of meat because I want to take advantage, but that's going to require me to go and schlep fuel, it was usser. Then it's usser. Then it's usser. Exactly. No, the one piece, you can do whatever you need for the one piece. This is self-understood. What are you doing to this halacha? You understand the halacha. You understand. It's self-understood. There's Chazal are letting you, this is a din derabanan. They're letting you take it, therefore they're relaxing the restriction. They're letting you take advantage. But they're saying to you, watch out. Watch out. We're letting you take advantage, but don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. And it could very well be what's for you, for each person, it's different. Okay, let's see. Ois Gimel, Halacha Gimel, Sifkan Gimel. V'kol shekein shemutu l'shchoit. Your exact question. I have an animal, a 3,000, how much does an animal cost today? A whole animal. A few hundred cents? That's all it costs?
Oh, okay.
A cow only costs.
You're not gonna. It doesn't cost $1,000.
A cow only.
The animal is not that expensive.
Really?
Because the work. What cost is what happens. The labor afterwards.
Yeah, probably the afterwards.
You know, to break it down.
So the largest cow is only a few $100.
The animal and then hang it. That's what the money costs. But the animal itself. When you buy the animal, it doesn't cost that much money.
On the hoof.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's all
in
by now.
Now. Question is the label. Everything is labeled on the book.
Cows to intimidate squirrels.
What?
Okay, ice gimbal. The call chicane. I have an animal. I have a massive animal. How many pounds is an animal? How many pounds is it?
2,000.
What?
How many pounds?
The meat that's usable is going to be usually on a steer. Okay. It's going to be about 200 pounds a side of beef. So let's say tops 400 pounds a usable piece of meat, because you're not using the head, you're not using the hindquarters.
Right.
So figure 400 pounds tops.
Right. Usable.
And then you're trailering away 10%.
See,
a lot of stuff goes away.
So with this potential to close to 400 pounds of meat, and how much are you going to eat already on Yom Tov? How much are you going to eat ready? What? 1 pound? Most 2 pounds. So are you allowed to do a shechita to slaughter an animal 300 pounds? And what are you putting? You put it in the freezer? You're going to put it in the freezer? Are you allowed to do this? The kol shekein shemutur lishchoit behema af im ein tzarech ella miksas mimena. Who did this? Shaharei? It's impossible for one kazayis basar. What about Avram Avinu? It was Pesach, right? Wasn't it? The Malachim came to visit Avram Avinu on Pesach and he slaughtered them 3 tongues. He gave them tongues. Each one got a tongue. So the tongue is only a teeny fraction of the animal. So what happened to us? So he slaughtered 3 whole animals. Who possibly could have eaten all that meat of all the other animals? It doesn't say what happened to those animals. He made 3 tongues and mustard for his 3 honored guests, and it was Yom Tov, he did Shchita, and there was a lot of leftover meat. You're allowed to cook.
And it was Pesach.
It was Pesach. I said it was Pesach. He's cooking shchita on Yom Tov. V'chein yecholah levashel harbe kideros many pots v'lechol mikol echad me'at. You're allowed to cook many pots, and from each pot you only take a small amount for the next day. Is this called harama? I'm preparing for tonight. What's going on over here? You have a whole kitchen. You have cooking away. You're preparing over here a gourmet meal for 1,000 people. And who's eating lunch here today? Just 1 or 2 people. What's going on over here? I'm doing it according to halacha. I'm going to have mitoyim from every single pot. I'm going to be mitoyim a small amount of food. They do this on Yom Tov. Yom Tov could be. I don't know. Could be. Yesh, he's Bolifonenu, he's going to clarify a little bit more. He's going to discuss a little bit more. But basically, there's no haram. Basically, halacha allows for this. Halacha allows. It's a dirabanan hachana, and therefore, if as long as you follow a certain set of guidelines, it's mutter. Vida, sheyesh, hevish, bein tam, tircha, achas, latam, shamiksas, mishabeches. We have to be very careful. There are 2 different heterim. There is a heter called tircha achas. I do one act, I turn on the range. I'm not going and chopping wood. I'm not going and cutting wood. I'm just doing one ma'isa. That's one heter. Latam sha'an miksas mishabeches. And the other explanation is that if I have 50 pieces of meat, then each piece of meat Each piece of meat tastes better. Each piece of meat enhances the quality of another piece of meat. So there's these are the two principles of the heter, but there's a difference between that. According to the leniency that of Torah, Torah Echad, Kemoi B'chavis, Mayim, in the Midu Chachavis Aloesh, also L'choysef Bo Mayim Achar Kach. The Zeru Tircha Chadosh, that's called the new Tircha. Masha Einkein, B'kidera Basar, B'tanur Pas, Modrafu L'choysef Achar Kach, Basar B'kidera, U'pas B'tanur, K'dei Sher Tashpiach Oysam Sheroitza Lechol, to know that it should taste even better. The afil doesn't make a deira ketana, a small ketera. You can change to a larger pot. A larger pot. Lohais of basar. Period. Within pass, you spar besim tofko zain de betanudim shalonu ein lahamit mishabiach b'mesha atanim moli pass. This halach is not relevant for us today. I'm not so sure that's so in a commercial oven. So lechem also ha'idna lafos yoyis mimashat tzorech ayin sham. So first, two yisoydas. Number one is, there are two basic heterim to make use of. Number one, tircha achas. Number two, it's mashpiach. Nafgemina, tircha achas. Once the tircha is complete, you're not allowed to go back and do another maisa. If I put water in a pot, I want to cook up hot water, and I fill up a kettle with water, I only need for now, today, right? I have a kettle of water. Okay, very common. I need hot water. So I have a kettle. How much water do I need right now? I only need one glass. I want to take one cup of coffee, and that's it. I'm off to the races. I'm off to shul. Tonight, I'm having many guests. For them, I'm going to need to be able to serve every single person a glass of tea. So how much water do I need to put into the kettle? Small amount. Enough that, you know, that the pot shouldn't go crazy, and I should have enough water comfortably to fill up. I'll fill up a third of the kettle. It'll be fine. But once already I'm filling up the kettle, and tonight I'm having 50 guests, I'm going to fill to the very, very top. Gesunte heit, fill up the kettle to the very, very top in preparation for tonight, it's mutter. I forgot. I only filled it up one third, and I turned on the fire. The fire is already on, and I put it on the range, and now it's bubbling. Wait, tonight I'm having all of these guests. So let me go back and take the kettle off and fill it up with more water. You told me it's mutter. No. Once you have already started the process, your tircha has ended, you're not allowed to go back and do another tircha. But let's say I want to go cook a piece of meat. I'm hungry, I want some meat, so I put a piece of meat in the pot. And then I put the pot on the range, and I go into the dining room and I sit down to learn the daf gemara. And then, wait a minute, who's coming tonight? My whole family's coming, I have to have 50 pieces of meat. So let me go back into the kitchen and add into that pot, I'll go and I'll add into the pot more. I already started the process. When it comes to the kettle, I'm not allowed to fill the kettle. Here you're allowed now to add more pieces because I'm going to add another 50 pieces into the pot. That one piece of meat that I'm going to eat for my lunch now is going to taste better. It's going to taste better. Those other 49 pieces are going to enhance the quality of the piece of meat that I'm going to eat now. So you're allowed to go back and even do another maisa to add to the pot. And then the last point he makes is that today the way we make bread is not like the way they made bread in the ancient times, in the old brick ovens, where you stick the dough to the wall of the bread of the oven, and therefore each loaf of bread is going to enhance the flavor of its neighboring loaf of bread. That's not the way it works today in commercial ovens. You put a piece of bread, you put a loaf of bread into the oven, you put a challah into the oven. It doesn't make a difference if the oven is full of bread, not full of bread, it all tastes the same. So Bizman HaZeh, there is no heter whatsoever, he says, when you're making chalas, if you want to bake chalas on, people do that, they make chalas on Yom Tov itself, mamish, I don't know if they do that, if you're going to bake on Yom Tov itself, there is no heter to bake more than what you need for the meal you're eating, not for the future meals, because the principle that it's
there. Take longer to cook for me to bake.
Doesn't, but if it would taste good, if it would taste good, it would be worth it.
Didn't you say it enhances?
So he's saying not in our modern ovens. Not today, not the way we bake. It's only, that's what he concludes, that's only true in ancient times. When they had different ovens where they would glue the dough to the wall of the oven, there was a different technique, a different system, it was okay. Today it's not like that. Today it doesn't make a difference. I don't know, maybe you'll tell me today, you know, everyone, like, you ever see pizza all today, pizza and bread. The first thing they advertise is what kind of oven it was made in. A brick oven, a this oven, a that oven. Maybe today there is, that's not the home. In some commercial type of setting, there might be some technique where indeed where if you bake a lot together, who knows? Like the olden days, it would enhance one another.
But what about frozen meat that's frozen in the freezer?
So what?
You cannot take it out the first
in preparation for tonight, no. To take it out of to take it out.
It'll never defrost.
It's never going to defrost. It'll defrost. You put it in the pot. You want on the first day yom just to take the meat out of the freezer, right. Put it on the counter so it should defrost. Not so simple. It's not so simple. What did you hear? You heard it's mutter? It's mutter? The ideal thing is before yom tov begins.
Because of the fact that you want for yom tov, right?
Well, real frozen meat is going to take 3 days to defrost.
Not meat. In the refrigerator.
You have in the freezer chicken, right? He's saying it's very common. Yeah, you want to go bake for night. You're going to cook at night. Yom tov night. But right now, the chicken or the meat that you're going to cook tonight is in the freezer. So Yom Tov morning, so he's asking Yom Tov morning, let me take
first
the meat.
Day.
First day, Yom Tov morning, let me just, I'm not going to cook, I just want to take it out of the freezer and put it on the counter so it can defrost, be ready for tonight. Obviously, the ideal thing to do is before Yom Tov begins is to do that. Okay, before the first day Yom Tov.
Want to defrost it so that you have some time to cook it in the first day.
Or, okay, that you don't want to do that though. He's saying, yeah, so he just asked, are you allowed to take it out of the freezer to put it on the counter so it can defrost now? It would seem that it's a problem. Maybe you have a head, I don't know. You heard that it's mutter?
For the same day you're allowed?
Yes, of course, for the same day. Oichel nefesh, of course. But you're not doing it for today. I'm doing
it
for
today. It's already cooked. Can you take it out for tomorrow?
Only if you're going to cook it. Only if you're going to cook it for today. If you're going to derive...
Saying it's ready, but it's cooked it and then frozen.
No.
Cooked and frozen.
Are you going to eat it today?
No.
Same thing.
Even though it's cooked.
Same thing. You're doing a ma'is ha'achana. L'chayr, it's really muksa, right? It's not fit in this way. So if you're going to eat it today, I'm going to have a little snack. Before Shalosh Shudas time, in the afternoon, I'm going to have a little snack. So then people do that. That's the way it's mentioned later on. That's only Erev Tavshilin. Only Erev Tavshilin, Bikloy Orchen. You don't apply, that's a very, guests are not coming. It's like, Shema, that leniency of Orchen is only from Yom Tov to Shabbos. See, Chazal made the rules. This purely a din derabbanan. Not being mechin from one day to the next is a din derabbanan. So, it's awesome. You're being mechin. Shema, maybe guests are going to come, either they're coming or they're not coming. When it comes to Yom Tov, to Shabbos, so since they made the rules, they allow you through an Erev Tavshilin to relax the rules in their ways. So, but that heter doesn't work when it comes to He talks about it more and more detail. We're going to come to a little later on.
The biggest raya is that when you have, let's say, a Thursday, Friday Shabbos.
Yeah.
So you made an Erev Tavshilin for Shabbos, but you can't cook the
first day to the second day.
Shabbos.
Right, the first day on Shabbos, and Thursday.
Cook the first
only
day
the second
Shabbos.
Day, only the second day for Erev Tavshilin is a lot of chidushim. It's a world to itself.
Anything goes.
All right, we're going to stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow. We'll take a short break.